You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. New episodes every Monday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Calgary Flames fans, it's time for Flames Unfiltered. Entertaining and controversial hockey talk with your host, Brad Berube.
Damn, I wish they'd wait a week or two for me to calm down before exit meetings. I don't feel like listening right now. Good evening, welcome to another edition of Flames Unfiltered, episode number 70, as we roll through the Stanley Cup playoffs. Only our team is not playing. Anger. You know, my anger totally hasn't subsided on this whole thing yet. I'm still frustrated. I don't know, maybe we will be for quite a while. It's just weird having it be the second off season now. I finally came to terms with, a disappointing regular season. I did. It was a tumultuous year with Peter's problem, Brody. Thank goodness that ended up good. Man, it just seemed like one thing after another, after another, after another. And then we got into what was a quick premature off season, and I had come to terms with the season, and probably in hindsight now would have rather kept it just buried to start over again fresh right now. But we didn't get that. We got a playoff, which I'm happy with, don't get me wrong. And a great, great playing round against Winnipeg. I thought we were great, which almost pisses me off more because then we were so not great against Dallas that it kind of negates all the good things we saw in the Winnipeg series. Where are the Flames at? Do we have a bright future? I've been negative. I'm trying to get positive. I started to calm down now. I'm kind of coming to terms with some things, and I'm trying to determine where this franchise needs to go. Is it a complete rebuild? Is it a tweak? Is it just leave our pieces in place and try to add to it? I don't know how we'd do that with the salary cap. But that's what we're going to be figuring out over the next four episodes. Because next week we start a real, real fun segment in the show where we're going to talk about how we would change this roster. And it's going to be a lot of fun. It's a little cooler outside now. Things are a little bit more enjoyable after all the heat we've had. And usually this time of year we get the trees start to change and it starts to feel like hockey season's in the air. Only this time we're just finishing hockey season, which also is kind of throwing me for a loop. Can't wait for the new season to start. I can't wait for the Flames to get back on the ice. But we're not going to stop talking hockey as we go into off-season number two. On this episode, well, let's talk exit meetings. We have to because they happen, so we'll get all the reactions, we'll talk injuries, and then the future of the Flames. And then it's time to reveal my regular season and playoff grades for each player. Some might surprise you, and yes, I look way more into it than just the numbers. I go on how I feel they were as a team player throughout the year, and a whole lot of other variables. And then we'll go into some Flames news. We'll talk Valimaki, Coyotes, regular season bubble, and then Matthew Tkachuk. And we'll wrap that show up with a listener question about our rivals and who we should cheer for as the playoffs continue. Thanks for listening to another episode of Flames Unfiltered.
Using the wrong tool for the job? Use the right tool for the job. Introducing the Lawnmower 3.0 by Manscaped, featuring advanced skin-safe technology. Order today at manscaped.com.
Get 20% off and free shipping when you use promo code THPN at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you. All right, Flames fans, let's dive right into those exit meetings. Man, like I said in the intro, I wish they would wait. It's hard to listen to some of the things now, hard to listen to some of the guys, and your anger's still up, and your frustration's still up, and yeah. It was interesting, though.
Let's start off with Milan Lucic and what he thought. His quote was he felt like he contributed, and he hadn't felt like that in a long time. He said he started to feel like his old self, and he felt like he was a contributing factor. He also went on to speak about how he feels like this team is really close, and how the coaching staff and management feels like that too, and how the players feel like things are coming together and moving in the right direction. As for Milan Lucic, I thought he was really good in the Winnipeg series. I did. I thought he was really, really good in the Winnipeg series. As for this team being close and management feeling and coaches feeling it, I think it is. Every player is saying it. So I have to agree that this team's probably is really close. On the bubble probably helped that out too. What happened to Peters and what happened to Brody probably helped it out too. But in all reality, do we want a team that gets along really good and everything gels really good, but doesn't equal playoff success? Or do we want a team that has some turmoil every once in a while in the room, but yet we have playoff success? Now, I'm not saying you can't get playoff success and good locker room cohesion, but, I don't think this group is worth keeping it all together just because they get along so good. As for Johnny Gaudreau, he was the one I think everybody was waiting to hear, see what he had to say about this. And the takeaways that I got, his quote was that this Calgary is his second home. He loves playing here. It's a team I could see myself playing for the remainder of my career. As a Johnny Gaudreau critic as of late, I hope that isn't the case. That being said, I wish he showed that more on the ice. Now, in the Dallas series, I thought he got much better. He did. And honestly, this regular season, he wasn't horrific. And we'll talk about that later on in the player grades. But Johnny Gaudreau's attitude to me and his demeanor tells me more than what he's saying right here. Does Johnny Gaudreau want to be here? Is Johnny Gaudreau willing to go into the dirty areas once in a while and take a hit to be able to make a play? Is Johnny Gaudreau willing to work hard in the offensive zone to to get pressure on their team and sustain offensive zone time? We'd struggled miserably with that in the Dallas series. And the biggest thing that I took away from this is, after another first-round exit, I kind of thought Johnny Gaudreau would take a little bit on himself. And he did not do that. Big shocker, right? As for goaltender Cam Talbot, who had a great playoffs, he went on in his presser to say that he loves Calgary. My wife and my family loved it here. And he said in the right situation, he can see himself back with the team. And he's very, very opening to coming back next year and beyond. I thought Cam Talbot did his job this year, and I loved what he said in the press conference. I think he did everything we can ask for him. Sam Bennett, Mr. Playoffs. This guy's a machine, you guys. Everybody that ripped on him all regular season has to take that back. I think what Sam Bennett, and he said it in his presser, he says he loved it. He loves playing center. Said it complements his game. He said he's better able to use his speed a little bit more and be involved in the games a little more. Well, I think he showed it. And I think a happy Sam Bennett, I think a Sam Bennett playing at forward, or excuse me, at center, is going to be a better Sam Bennett. Now, I don't know if he can sustain that intensity level for an 82-game season. We haven't seen it thus far. We've seen blips of it, but very short blips in the regular season and longer blips in the postseason. And what Johnny Gaudreau is in the regular season, Sam Bennett isn't. And what Sam Bennett is in the regular season, Johnny Gaudreau isn't in the postseason. Now, head coach Jeff Ward says he would love to be back as head coach next season and asked if he'd stay with the organization if they opted for another head coach. He said he would consider, and I'll sit down and listen to anything they want to talk about with him. I think Jeff Ward wants to be back, obviously. Why would he not want to be? I guess we'll see and talk about that a lot more on next week's episode as we dive into what should happen with the coaching staff. Matthew Tkachuk ended the presser with kind of the bomb. And his quote is, "I cannot believe some of the criticism some of my teammates were getting, especially Johnny and Monty. It really makes me sick and pisses me off, honestly. They produce more than me. I should be the one to take the blame." Well, I disagree. Your job is not to put up Johnny Gaudreau numbers. Secondly, Johnny Gaudreau doesn't light a candle to what you do as far as physicality and game structure. I don't know how else to put that. Does this quote not just spew team leader? It just spews team leader to me. And I think that's a wonderful, wonderful thing, because I think what we're seeing is the next captain of the Flames. I do. I think this guy is poised to be the next captain, and I'm super excited to see where Matthew Tkachuk can take this team. Now, injuries. Brad Treliving announced a few injuries. Tkachuk did sustain a concussion in game two, and then he said now that if the playoffs were still going right now, he'd be able to return from his concussion. So just a few days late, but I'm glad they didn't push him back and have something happen even more devastating. We cannot have a Matthew Tkachuk and have to worry about him and concussions, because that's not go conducively to with the style of play that he plays. So we definitely need a healthy Matthew Tkachuk. Rasmus Andersson was playing with a broken foot. Now, I would have never guessed that. I thought Rasmus Andersson had a very good playoffs, and he was playing and doing all that with a broken foot. Sam Bennett was announced that he's playing with a torn tricep. A torn tricep. It won't require surgery, but a pretty substantial injury for a guy that was the best Flame. And it also explains why we did not see him taking faceoffs in the postseason as it went on. They didn't announce when that injury happened, but two of them I would have never guessed. I would have never, ever guessed. We all suspected Lindholm of having some issues in the Dallas series, and we didn't see that. Nothing came out on that. And plus, we also saw his play get a little bit better as that series went along. As far as the future for the Flames, Elliot Friedman reported that we're probably going to know in the next week or two what direction they are going to go as far as a coaching decision. I think we will find that out in the next week or two, and I think we all know what the decision will be. And I'll get into that next week. I'm guessing that they'll determine the coach first, and then they'll deal with what they want to do with the core and what moves they want to make, and if it's smart to get trading now or not. There's still eight teams playing, and surprisingly, we saw Toronto and Pittsburgh start the trading. Is it smart to wait? Should we wait till all teams are available to bid on our guys or to have them available to them? You know what? I think you just go and you start putting feelers out there now, and you try to start building your team as soon as possible, because this offseason is not going to be a very fast one. Or excuse me, a long one. It's going to be a fast one. I think it's going to be busy, and I also know and feel like the future of the Flames will be determined a lot this year. This offseason is basically Treliving's last kick at the can, if you ask me. If he can't put this team together and we can't get a little push and a little run in the playoffs, we're probably going to see the end of Brad Treliving in Calgary. Now, I'm not saying I want that, but we also need production, and we need to not have another first-round exit.
Every team, everywhere, the Hockey Podcast Network.
Time to roll into the player grades, and I put together grades for each position also, but I also will go through the players, and then I'll give you my positional grade for the team at the end of each segment of players. Well, I did a regular season and I did a postseason grade just because I think it's critical with the where we stand on some of our guys, really where they go. We need players to produce in the postseason. And you can't look away and say, oh, it was a one-off. It's a COVID year. It's this or that. These were legitimate playoffs, and we needed to produce, and we didn't. Let's start with David Rittich. Now, I'm a David Rittich fan. I was a David Rittich fan. I don't think he's a starting goalie of the Calgary Flames for the future. I think David Rittich could be a really good backup for this team. Very serviceable backup that can win you games. And I think that's what we need to accept the fact of and start looking forward to that. And I'm not just basing that decision off this playoffs. The past two seasons, David Rittich has started off very, very well and faded and faded and faded as the season went along. When you've been put into situations to fill in for injury or to step up and take reign of this team, he has failed miserably. It kills me to say that because I think David Rittich's probably one of the nicest guys out there. And I like the way he plays. But I think part of the demise of David Rittich is that fiery attitude. I love fiery attitudes. I think it's wonderful. But I think when you do it to the extent that he has done, it sometimes can take away from your ability to play a game. Now, I think David Rittich spent just a little bit too much time with Mike Smith and has taken it just a little bit too far to the extreme to where it's gotten in his head. And when times are tough, David Rittich hasn't been able to mentally fight through it. I'm going to have to give him a big fat F for the playoffs. How do you not? Even though it's probably not 100% his fault, thrown in a horrendous situation and probably one of the worst coaching decisions I've seen in Flames history. He allows three goals. 0.66 save and save percentage in the postseason. Not good. Give him a big fat F. In the regular season, I thought David Rittich was fine. I thought he was I think if you rewind and go back, probably to podcast number 20, I probably had him rated as, our number one player to start the season off. And I probably gave him a letter grade of an A. I'll give his regular season grade a C with a 2.97 goals against average and a 0.907 save percentage. I think the biggest factor that made me lower it to a C was the fact that he struggled down the stretch. He did. He struggled when we needed him to be his best. When he needed to take the reins, he didn't. And that's when Cam Talbot stepped in. Now, Cam Talbot, I will give a letter grade A for the playoffs. He was our best goaltender in the playoffs, our best player in the playoffs. A .924 save percentage, 2.42 goals against average, 1-5 games lost. 4 games. In the regular season, Cam Talbot was a .919 save percentage, of 2.63. Cam Talbot did everything we could ask him to do. I'll give him an A in the postseason. I'll give him a C+ in the regular season, almost a B. As a team, I thought our goaltenders deserve an A in the playoffs. I thought our goaltending was fine. 2 years in a row, two first-round exits, and we cannot bitch a thing about our goalies. What does that tell you? That means the other players need to be held accountable this year. We've given them all the chances we can give them. In the regular season, I gave this goalie tandem a C. I thought they were fine. I don't think they were amazing. Yeah, that's how you'd sum it up. Defense. Let's roll into defense. Let's talk postseason first, and then we will talk regular season. I'm going to give my postseason grades first for each individual, and then I'll give my regular season grades for each individual. Postseason, we only have to talk about 6, because only 6 defensemen, played in the postseason. That means we're injury free, and that's a really good thing. Let's start with Anderson. Playing with a broken foot, 5 points, 10 games. He's a +4. He was good. I'll give Anderson a B+ for the playoffs. I thought he was really, really good. TJ Brody, 4 points, 10 games, plus minus of 0. I thought Brody was good too. I thought Brody was better than what we could have expected. I thought he got better as soon as he had his scare. The TJ Brody after that, I really, really liked. Yeah, he has his turnover every once in a while, but, you know, I think he was pretty darn solid, and I'll give him a B for the playoffs. Gustafson, now, he stepped up into a power play line in the first round, in the play-in round, a spot he did not hold in the regular season, which was a very, very abbreviated regular season for the trade deadline acquisition. 4 points, four assists in the playoffs, a plus one. I will give Gustafson a B minus. I like some of the things I saw. I don't know. I'm undecided if we sign or not sign this guy. I guess it depends on the money part of it, but I was not unhappy with Gustafson. Let's put it that way. Noah Hanifin, 4 points and plus two. I don't know. Why are my expectations so high for this guy? I'll give him a C for the postseason. Why are my expectations so high for this guy? They are. They're through the roof. Maybe because he's a young puck moving defenseman, and I don't know. The sky's the limit for this guy. Giordano, I will give him a D. 3 points, three assists, minus one. I just thought that he looked old. I don't know how to put that politely. I respect the hell out of this guy. He's our team leader. He's our heart and soul. But yeah, he looked old. He looked wore out. He looked old. Derek Forbert, I will give a C. He had 2 points in 10 games, a minus one. I thought Derek Forbert did his job. We bought him in as just a supplemental D, man. We didn't plan on using him. He filled Travis Hamonic's spot. Hamonic should have been playing, and we had to have Forbert in there, and I thought he did just fine. Don't have grades for Stone, Chillington, Hamonic, and Yelson in the playoffs because they did not play. Now let's roll on in and talk about this defensive core and give them their grades for the regular season. Rasmus Anderson, I will start with him, 22 points. He's a minus seven on the year, five goals. I thought he had a good year. This guy's going to be our top line defenseman for the future. He's going to get a B from me. That might be a little generous, but I'm going to give him a B. TJ Brody. I know some people might fall off their chairs when you hear what the grade I'm going to give him. A plus seven, 19 points, four goals. I give TJ Brody a B on the season. He was so much better than he was the year before. So much better. As soon as this guy came back from his scare, I was thoroughly impressed with his play. Now Gustafson, he's next on my list. We'll talk about him in a very abbreviated, only seven games played after deadline day from the time the league stoppage was. He had 3 points. He was a minus one. I don't know how to even grade off that. I put down a C because I don't even know what the hell to give him for the regular season. Noah Hanifin. I said it earlier, man. I don't know what to expect of this guy. 22 points, five goals, 17 assists. But here's the glaring thing that scares the crap out of me. A minus 12. Yes, I take plus minus with a grain of salt, but still minus 12. Not sure I'm liking that. Not sure I'm liking that. I'll give him a C minus for the regular season. Mark Giordano, coming off of a Norris Trophy winning year, 31 points, five goals in 60 games, a plus two. Guys, what do we expect from Giordano? He plays top line minutes against their opponent's top lines. He's older now. Like, what do we expect from this guy? Like, I give him a C. I wanted to give him a higher grade, but I can't because he didn't earn it. But, I mean, seriously, though, like, we need to lay off our captain. And maybe his role isn't what it should be right now. And we'll get into that in our rebuilding the Flames team. Derek Forbert, also, you know, a deadline acquisition. Seven games, no points in the regular season. I don't know. I thought he was fine. It's tough to grade on that. I'll just give him a C just because I don't have a baseline to grade him off of. Mark Stone. This guy, crazy, crazy beginning to the season. He was bought out by the Flames and then had to step in and they had to sign him after they bought him out because of injuries to Valimaki. Stayed home defenseman, 7 points in 33 games, a minus five. The thing is with Stone is, and you guys might get mad at me for the grade I'm going to give him, this guy did everything we asked him to. He's got a rocket shot from the point. He's steady defensively. He's a big body. He's not afraid to use it. I'm going to give Stone a B+, and I don't know that we don't sign this guy for one more year as a gap filler. This guy, he did exactly what we asked him, to fill a gap on the back end, And he did. He did everything we asked for. Oliver Shillington, we'll move on to him. 48 games played, 7 points, 2 goals, 5 assists, and minus 6. Oliver Shillington, where do I go with him? I love this guy. I love his style. I love his skating ability. I don't love his decision making. I don't know if his hockey sense isn't quick enough to play in the NHL. I don't know. Maybe it's not. But I know it's really good in the NHL because he lights it up down there and plays good defensively. This guy's like ready to be an NHLer. He's ready to step up. I don't know. I don't know if it's time to pull the plug on him or if it's time to, you know, to move forward with him. I don't dislike him. I think he has every attribute I'm looking for. I'm just waiting for him to piece it together and not be a liability out there. We can't have him being a liability. This will be an interesting offseason to see where we go with Shillington. Travis Hamonic, 50 games played in the regular season, suffered an injury, 12 points, minus 3. This guy's a heart and soul, man. I love this guy. He is one of my favorite Flames. I'll give him a B-. I don't think he was as effective. He had a really rough start to this season. I thought he got better as the season went along, blocking shots, taking it for the team, and doing everything he can to win hockey games. This guy's a winner and wants to win. I was extremely disappointed to not have him in the playoffs, and I think, I don't know, I'm not pinning it on him, but boy, could you imagine if we would have had him against Dallas in some of those games that were tight? That game where we allowed a goal with, was it 11.8 seconds? Travis Hamonic's on the ice, does that puck go in the net? Is that guy in front of the net? I don't think so. I don't know. I don't know. That one haunts me. I really, really think the Flames missed having him in the postseason. They really missed him. Yeltsin, 4 games, pretty tough to grade. I'll just give him a C. He filled in. He didn't enamor me with anything, but I don't think he was ever a hindrance or anything like that. So, what are the grades for that defensive core? I think you give the defense for the regular season, let's give him a C+. In the postseason playoffs, I would give him a C-. I don't know. And that's crazy because I gave 3 guys letter grades of B or better. I don't know. I thought we got a little sloppy at times defensively in the postseason. I did. I don't know. We keep telling ourselves that this is a defensive core that we're going to win with. I just don't know that it is. I don't know that it is. I thought, yeah, we need to trade it, you know, everybody up front. I'm willing to move anybody up front, but we got to keep that defensive core in standards intact and back. And we keep telling ourselves that we're really good defensively, but are we? I don't know. I start to second guess that just a little bit. So let's move on to the forwards. Let's go to the postseason first. And let's start right at the top. Sam Bennett. You give him a letter grade A. 10 games played, 5 goals, 3 assists, 8 points, a plus 4. A complete wrecking ball out there. Unbelievable. The guy was as good as you can get in the playoffs. Sean Monahan. 8 points, 10 goals, or excuse me, 2 goals in 10 games, plus minus of 0. The question with Monahan is he a first line center or should he be slotted in a second line center role? And then what would our projections and our thoughts be on Monahan? I don't think he was that bad in this playoffs. And I don't know. He's probably not one of the core pieces I think we need to worry about as much as some of the other ones maybe. Johnny Gaudreau, let's talk about him. And for a guy that played 10 games in the playoffs, 7 points, 4 goals, 3 assists. Don't forget, though, 2 of those goals were like bank-in shots. I don't know. I'm hard on Johnny Gaudreau. And I think most of the reason I'm hard is his lack of emotion and I can't use grit because, yes, he is a small player. I don't expect him to be out there hitting people and stuff like that. But I also expect that the National Hockey League, of what level, you have to have a little bit of grit to not shy away from it. We don't see Dylan Dubé shine away. You need to have a little bit of grit. And Johnny Gaudreau, just to me, is the prototypical guy that can get it done in the regular season and is afraid of the big tough guy games. And that's what the Stanley Cup playoffs are. And if Johnny Gaudreau Doesn't figure out a way to get past that. He will not win a Stanley Cup in his career. Michael Backlund. 10 games played, 6 points, 4 goals. I thought Michael Backlund has ups and downs. I thought he was really good in the Winnipeg series. I thought he was had his moments in the Dallas series where he would take over situations. I would give him a C+. Elias Lindholm. I'm going to give you his grade right away. It's C-. I expected so much more from him. I thought he was our best offensive player in the Winnipeg series and we probably would have up at a B+. But I thought it was pretty ineffective and invisible in the Dallas series. Now I know he got shuffled around in some of the line jumble garbage that we went through because of the ineffectiveness of our offense again. But I can't pin this on Lindholm, but I guess I expected more and I expected him to step up a little bit better and provide that offensive spark and kind of maybe drag Gaudreau by the ear into a little bit better playoffs than we had out of that first line. Milan Lucic. Yeah, if you'd have told me he would have 6 points in 10 games, a goal and 5 assists, I would have said you're crazy, but he did. I'll give him a B. He did what we needed him to do, be a strong physical presence, bang in some goals, and be a strong forechecker. And he did have all that. So I have to give him a good grade because he exceeded my expectations. Where I thought Lucic struggled was as the series went on against Dallas. To me, it looked like he got tired. It looked like he faded and got tired. And that's not a good sign, definitely for an 82-game season. But I don't know. Overall, I'm going to give him a pretty decent grade for the playoffs. Dylan Dubé. Is this a Dylan Dubé coming out party? 5 points, 10 games, 4 goals, plus one. Yeah, I like Dylan Dubé. I'm going to give him a B. I think Dylan Dubé solidified himself as a roster player for this top six roster player. For this, well, I shouldn't say that because he might not fall into the top six, but okay, a strong, definite top nine roster player for this Calgary Flames team. Tobias Reeder. Yeah, he gets besides Sam Bennett, he's my only other guy that gets an A for the postseason. Tobias Reeder, man, 5 points, 3 goals, 2 assists, all 3 goals, shorthanded goals. Yeah, you don't see that very often. The guy was clutch, man. He was so good on the penalty kill, and you need that in the postseason so much. This guy was such a big help for this team in the postseason, and kind of came out of nowhere, man. This guy just struggles miserably to score points and find situations, but, you know, he's a guy you need to really consider re-signing in the fact that we need to kill penalties, and he can prove that he can play in the postseason and play well for the Flames. Mangiapane. Well, I'm tough on this guy, aren't I? Everybody gives me a hard time for being tough on him all year this year. Cause I didn't think in the regular season he met the expectations I had of him being a top six forward. In the playoffs, I thought he did. I thought he was a good player. He was a buzzsaw out there, making things happen. I'll give him a B for the postseason, 5 points in 10 games. Matthew Tkachuk, let's give the grade right away. I'll give him a B. In an abbreviated playoffs. I mean, let's face it, he only played 6 games, 4 of those. 5 of those were, well, excuse me, he played 5.5 games. Mostly a Winnipeg series, had 2 points, a goal and an assist, but he did everything in that series. I thought he was really, really good in that series, and I wish we could have seen how it would have played out in the Dallas series. I will give Matthew Tkachuk a B. Derek Ryan. Yeah. 10 games, 2 assists. He was a plus +3. Derek Ryan. Why did I expect so much more of him in the playoffs? I'll give him a D. I expected more. I did. I expected much, much more from him. And I don't know. I can't put a finger on it. I don't know if it's the third line to the fourth line, changing things that much for him. But, yeah, definitely a disappointment in the postseason for Derek Ryan. Let's move on to Alan Quine, who played a very abbreviated 3 games, 1 assist. I'll give him a C. I don't know. He played a fourth line role. I mean, he didn't hurt us, so, that's good. We'll give him a C. Zach Rinaldo, who played, how many games did Zach Rinaldo play in the playoffs? 5 games, no points, an even player. I didn't like what he brought. I just didn't. He did nothing. I'll give him an F. I just didn't like it. I didn't like it. I don't like having this guy on the team. I don't think we need this guy on the team. He didn't do anything. Another guy that didn't do anything is Mark Jankowski. He played 5 games. He played off and on, I guess. When he was in, he never did anything. A -1, no points. This guy frustrates the hell out of me. Good on the penalty kill. But man, I mean, what in the world? What, he's a big body. Like what? He lacks emotion out there. He lacks drive to me. And I'm not saying he's not playing hard. I just think that's the way he is. He lacks that killer instinct and that aggressiveness that we need, for him to be a top center. Yeah. A first round pick, wasted on this one. But I think Will Flames will be moving on from him. Buddy Robinson is the final player to talk about. He played 1 game in the playoffs. Pretty tough to give a grade on 1 game, but I thought he did a decent job. I thought he was actually one of the better players that game for the Flames, and I'll give him a B. Yeah, as a forward core for the playoffs, I gave a lot of Bs out, but I think this team's a C. I don't think we were horribly off. C plus, let's do that. I think we were pretty good offensively in this playoffs. I thought we scored goals. I think we let in some untimely goals. I think our defense was kind of our nemesis. It wasn't our goaltending. I'm not blaming our goaltending. But, yeah, just a lot of good production. Just couldn't put it together to get out of that first round. Let's roll through the regular season fairly quickly. Sam Bennett, I'll give him a C-. Sam Bennett. Oh, he finds a way to disappoint in the regular season. 12 points in 52 games. I don't know. Would the real Sam Bennett stand up and play 20 games in the regular season like that so we can see where we go with you? I think having him at a center position is the right choice for next year, and we'll see how that plays out. Sean Monahan, 4th in scoring on the team this year, 48 points in 70 games played. You know, we preached all year about how we thought he had improved and become a better two-way player. And I still believe he did, but he's a -16 this year, and that is glaringly bad. That is glaringly bad. We cannot have a Sean Monahan that is -16, because guess what, folks? That is the worst on the Calgary Flames. Oh, where do we go? I give him a C-. I'm not happy. Johnny Gaudreau, 58 points in 70 games played, -10. 18 goals. He needs to be scoring more than 18 goals. He needs to be more engaged, and we've talked enough about Johnny Gaudreau. Michael Backlund, I'll give him a B, 45 points in 70 games played. I thought Michael Backlund was good this year. I like Michael Backlund's game. He is a perfect guy to have as a third line center. I believe that. Actually, he was our second line for most of the year, but if we could just find a top end center that moves him into the third line center, we'd be golden. Elias Lindholm, I'll give him a B on the season, 54 points in 70 games. He was a straw that made that first line go when that first line was going. Milan Lucic, I will give him a C+. I had zero expectations for him. I thought he struggled miserably out of the gates. I thought he found his game later on in the season and was more effective when played in situations that suited his style of play. I guess that's the best way to put it. Dylan Dubé, regular season, 16 points in 45 games. I don't know. I wasn't that big of a Dylan Dubé fan in the regular season. I'll give him a C-. I don't think he was horrible. I think we had a Dylan Dubé coming out party in the playoffs, so, and I look forward to seeing the Dylan Dubé of next season. Tobias Reeder, I will give him a D for the regular season, -12, 10 points, 4 goals in 55 games. Just wasn't as big of a factor. I think he needs to, I think he's a great fourth liner. I think we need him on the team. I want him on the team. I expect a better year next year if he is on our team. A PTO, like how do you go wrong with him as a PTO guy? Look what he did in the postseason. He was a force on the penalty kill, and I like Tobias Reeder. Andrew Mangiapane, 32 points, plus four. Hey, well, that's good. That's good. 68 games play. Everybody I talk to loves Andrew Mangiapane, and I do too. I just don't know that he's a top six forward yet in this league. Prove me wrong, Andrew. Prove me wrong. I'll give you a C-plus on this season. Matthew Tkachuk, I will give a letter grade A. He carried this team, 61 points in 69 games, 23 goals. Yeah, we need a healthy, strong Matthew Tkachuk with some other guys helping him out with the cause. Derek Ryan. Derek Ryan led the team in plus-minus with a +9, which is exactly what you'd expect from a Derek Ryan player. 29 points, 10 goals. Not as effective as I thought he was the year before. I'll give Derek Ryan a letter grade of a C for the regular season. Alan Quine in the regular season didn't see a lot of action. Actually, Alan Quine only played 9 games. Pretty tough to grade upon. Didn't stand out. Didn't earn a spot. Let's put it that way. I'll give Alan Quine a letter grade D. Zach Ronaldo. He was much better. I ripped on him bad for the playoffs, but Zach Ronaldo was much better in the regular season. He played 19 games only, but you know what? I think there was a stat out there that Calgary won like 16 or 15 of those 19 games when he was in the lineup. 5 points. I'll give him a letter grade C. Not bad for a PTO. I don't know where we go with this guy. You'll find out my vote on that in the coming episodes. Mark Jankowski, not sugarcoating this. He played 56 games this year. That was probably 56 too many. A minus 12, 5 goals only. I will give Jankowski an F. I praised this guy for so long, and I just can't do it anymore. I'm done. I'm ridding myself of this guy. He's gone. Buddy Robinson, just 5 games this year. Had a goal. It was a big goal against Edmonton. I remember that game. You know, we didn't really give him a lot of a chance with 5 games. I'll give him a letter grade C. It's pretty tough to grade on just 5 games. And that also stands for Austin Zarnik, who only played 8 games, 2 goals, 1 assist, injury plagued beginning of the year, and then just never got a chance after that. I thought in the games we saw early in the season, I would give him a B. He was good. He's effective. He's a quick player. I just don't know that his style of play fits his team and where this team's going in the future. So we'll see what happens with Austin Zarnik. If I had to place my bets that he is no longer a Calgary Flame after this is all said and done. But I actually wish they would have given him a shot later in the year, because I think we might have a different opinion on an Austin Zarnik. Letter grades for the forward core in the playoffs. I would give the letter grade, I think we talked about this, like, a B minus is, yeah. The letter grade for the forwards in the regular season, I would give them a C. I don't know. What do I expect from this group? I expect so much more. You know what I expect? I expect a first round win, not a first round exit. I hate giving letter grades. I do it because people want that. They want to know my opinion on each player. It's tough. It's tough to give letter grades because there's so many ebbs and flows in a season and players have so many ups and downs. I had to look at it as an overall picture, not just at their stats and their numbers there. I think the Calgary Flames have a good core group that needs some tweaking, needs some movement, needs some change. I'm not saying a full rebuild, but we need to make some changes because we need to get past the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
I'm James.
And I'm Andy.
And we host the Broadway Boys podcast on the Hockey Podcast Network.
Every Monday, we talk New York Rangers, news from around the league, and all aspects of the hockey lifestyle.
It's a power play goal!
It's never been a better time to be a Rangers fan, so tune in and join us as we break down games, prospects, rumors, and more as we follow the Blue Shirts on their quest towards the Stanley Cup. Our takes are all our own.
And not always legally binding.
But you're not going to want to miss all the guests, rants, speculation, and the occasional overreaction.
He runs to the net! He scores! He scores! The Rangers win!
Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Broadway Boys Pod and catch new episodes every Monday morning on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, and more.
And this one will last a lifetime!
So what are you waiting for? Subscribe, follow, and listen to the Broadway Boys Podcast today. and be sure to check out all the exciting content on the Hockey Podcast Network.
Oh, baby!
Time for the Flames news section of the show. Valimaki, yes, defenseman Juuso Valimaki was not credited with a pro season in 2019-20 because he played zero games. One of the reasons why we didn't see him in the postseason. As a result, he'll be exempt from the 2021 Seattle expansion draft. Very important for a young defenseman who has struggled with injuries early on. Let's just hope we get to see 82 games with Juuso Valimaki this year. That will be a big, big improvement on the back end of the Calgary Flames with the young defenseman stepping in. Punishments handed down by the National Hockey League, the Arizona Coyotes. Yeah, they're in just a little bit of trouble. The NHL announced that due to violation of combine testing policy, the Coyotes will lose their 2020 second round pick and will also lose their 2021 first round pick. No individual punishment was laid down. He said the personnel acted in a grossly negligent manner. And, yeah, that's some pretty healthy punishment, losing a first rounder next year. Wow. As a result of these sanctions against the Coyotes, the Flames picks in the second round move up. They improve. They'll pick 19th, which is unchanged, and then 49th, 95th, 142nd, 173rd, and 204th. The bubble hockey. Yeah, it's worked very, very well so far in the postseason. Still, zero positive tests. I don't think any of us would have guessed in a million years that we'd make it with zero. Great news. I love to see it. But what happens next year when the NHL is set to start their regular season in December? Will that happen? How will that happen? Will it be in front of fans? Will hockey be played without fans? I don't know how that's going to be possible based on the financial status of playing without the income of having fans in the building. Well, I'm also hearing that the NHL and the PA have had preliminary talks that next season one proposal has four bubble cities with all 31 teams rotating through those in 8-game increments. At the present time, there's no indication if all the cities will be in Canada, but that would make sense. I don't know how they would do that, but I don't know. My thoughts are that there is no way in the world that the NHLPA will sign off on a bubble system and have players away from their families in bubbles for an entire season. I don't know. Maybe I'm completely wrong. I just don't see that happening. Hey, Matthew Tkachuk fans, you need to go check out. They have from Clark Toys for next year. A 6-inch figurine being made of Matthew Tkachuk in the nice, sweet retro jerseys. Available for $19.99 on pre-order. I thought all you Flames fans who are Matthew Tkachuk fans would want to check that out and get your pre-order in for that. On to the listener question part of the show. And this one comes from Cynthia Brigby from Lethbridge, Alberta. And this one is a good question. It says, who are you cheering for in the Stanley Cup playoffs? Well, I'll answer that part. That's part one of the question. I'm going to answer that, and we'll get to part two of the question. Cynthia, I am cheering for the New York Islanders now. I don't know. I guess I've kind of always been a closet Islanders fan. I guess it's okay to have a team that you don't hate when they're in the other conference, right? I've always kind of liked the Islanders. Felt like they've went on some really hard times and some horrible situations, actually. But that being said, I like their style of play. They quietly work hard and get things done. I like what they got going there, and I'm going to have a lot of fun watching what's left of the Stanley Cup playoffs cheering for the New York Islanders. Part two of the question, and now that the Calgary Flames are eliminated, who do you want eliminated between the rivalry series Vegas and Vancouver? Well, they are both in our division. I think that's why you're asking this question. And both teams that I don't like very much. Kind of hate them both, actually. I don't know. I'm really mixed on who I want to win this series. Part of me kind of wants Vegas to win this and actually just go on and win a Stanley Cup and get it over with. And then maybe we can pray that we start to see a downward turn of this team. I don't know. Vancouver, if they were to win, does that somehow that they're a Western Canadian team. Push teams like Edmonton and Calgary to get better quicker. Maybe make a little bit more drastic changes in management and players. I felt like when Edmonton started to come on their upswing and the McDavid and Draisaitl era started, that it put a little pressure on Calgary to just get better. And I think that's helped all the franchises actually in Western Canada. So I don't know. I don't want either one of these two teams to win. One has to win because they're playing each other. I think both of them are going to have a hard time. Well, I think Vegas is definitely going to win this series. I don't think Vancouver has the experience to come back. I could be wrong. Now watch, they'll do it just because I said that, but we'll see. Dallas surprising the heck out of me. Up 3-1 over Colorado. I thought we'd see a Colorado Vegas Western Conference Finals. We still might, but it's doubtful with both those teams. With Colorado being down 3-1. So we'll see what happens there. I guess I will think that Vegas will win this series, so we won't have to worry about the Vancouver part of this. But, yeah, you never know. Crazier things have happened, and I've jinxed teams before. So, watch out, Vegas.
Get all your Flames Unfiltered podcasts, team news, team updates, and highlights at flamesunfiltered.com.
All right, some great announcements here on Flames Unfiltered. Next year you can check us out, yeah, on Hot Mic. Have you heard of it? A great new app where you can watch games and have commentary from other fans and game show hosts. So I'll be hosting a Flames Game of the Week every week next season on Hot Mic. More details to come on that. We sure look forward to doing that next year. It should be a lot of fun. Next week, we're back with another off-season episode of Flames Unfiltered. Another big week on the show as we start our four-part series highlighting the roster restructure of the Calgary Flames. In part one, I will go through Flames UFAs and RFA players and determine would I sign them or let them go. We'll also look at potential UFA targets and how much it'll take and to acquire them and how much it'll cost to acquire them. You know what? It's going to be fun. That's part one of a four-part series that I'm really looking forward to doing. A lot of things, a lot of changes coming for the Calgary Flames, and I'll give you my input on what I think we should do to the Calgary Flames. Check us out on flamesunfiltered.com and the Hockey Podcast Network. Thanks for listening. Enjoy the offseason. Enjoy that cooler weather. Get out to the golf course. Enjoy.
Get connected. Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter at Flame Unfiltered. And also make sure you check out our Facebook page at Flames Unfiltered. Check out host Brad Brood on Twitter at Brad Brood. And if you like what you hear, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can find Flames Unfiltered on all the major podcast players. Consider subscribing to Inside Edge Hockey News on Patreon. That'll get you exclusive content and much more. Thanks again and enjoy the hockey.
Thanks for tuning in to Flames Unfiltered. Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. New episodes every Monday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
This has been a production of Inside Edge Hockey News Radio, brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. This production is copyrighted and distributed by the Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.